Hello and welcome to another episode of the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. In this episode is another question from Tony. As those of you who have listened to the Permaculture in the City episode know, Tony's a friend of mine, and I'd like to give some context to his question and comments about illustrating the plans for my property because he's someone who I hang out with pretty regularly. And a few weeks back, I was talking with him and some of our other friends while we were eating dinner about the idea of pairing alpacas and guinea fowl as guard animals on a property. I've run across this a couple of times before, and I don't remember exactly how we came to this point, but the idea behind it is that because of guinea fowl's distinctive cry, they can wind up alerting the alpaca to something strange that comes onto the property, and then the alpaca, being alerted to this, can then give chase and possibly attack an intruder. I don't know if you've ever seen an alpaca attack somebody, but it's certainly interesting and very strange to see. But during this process, one of my friends, Ben, asked if that pairing between the two could be seen as an example of permaculture. And I went on to discuss how it could be because of the shared functions between the two of them and everything that they give back to your system. But from there, I started drawing a diagram on a whiteboard that was on my friend's fridge and started showing the different ideas that I have in mind with the property as I keep reworking portions of the design, and also showing the items that I've already implemented and the way that all of those things come together and the connections between them and why certain things were placed with relative location to one another and all that. That led to his question, is there, at least in theory, a maximum size in the utilization of permaculture in an area? And this next section is why I wanted to explain everything that I had shown him. For example, the other day you illustrated your plans for your own property and with how remarkably detailed it all was, you know, all that information that's going together, I began to wonder what would happen if someone tried to do this but with 30 acres. Essentially, I'm wondering if there is a point, as someone practicing permaculture, where you're better off either letting the area grow wild or separating it to individual permaculturist enclaves. And it took me a lot longer to put together this answer, which is kind of short, than it should have, because I really wanted to point to some solid figures and definitive answer on how this all works out. That analytical side of my brain was pulling numbers and facts and wanted to go, aha, this is the way it is. But finally I was reminded that no, it doesn't really work that way, because here is not there. And that idea that comes up in my permaculture thoughts serves as a reminder that what works in one place shouldn't be directly replicated somewhere else, but instead be built on local conditions. To that end, for the first part about maximum size, on paper, there's no real limit to how large a design can be or the resulting installation. There are some real-world factors that are going to limit that, such as time, money, manpower available to implement it and bring it all together, as well as the skill of the designer to make it all work. And I have a link in the show notes for this article to a 106-acre permaculture farm in Wisconsin, so that you can see that there are people applying this to more than just a backyard. Then there's that second part about when to hand it off and or let it grow wild. And that's really the part that just kept having my brain turn over and over and spin on this for so long. And when it comes to that, how much to use and what to let go wild or give to others comes down to the ethics and need to ensure fair access and resources for others. And that winds up leading to this idea that kind of permeates permaculture about enough. And that once you reach that point, which you determine locally at each site by your current needs, that once you have that you shouldn't use any more than is necessary. And from the discussion of zones, at that point you would then leave that area alone and treat it as a zone 5, where it can be reclaimed by nature. So to recap that, no, there's no real maximum size, and determining how much you should use really comes down to each individual designer and the decisions that they make when they're on the ground looking at the environment. Even with that said, for my own sanity, I really want to give a more specific example for me and my family, particularly my immediate family, me, my wife, and our children. If we were living on 30 acres, more or less in the area where we are now with the mountain and the valley and the flooding, based on our current needs, I'd probably take about an acre and develop it into zones 1 and 2, really, intermixing some of the larger crops that you might normally find into zone 3 into this area, because it's small and we're going to be there all the time. And then around that have a few acres as that semi-wild zone four, where I would go in to do some collection of fallen limbs and branches and twigs from the trees to use as fuel. And then everything beyond that, like the other 25 acres or so, I'd leave alone and travel there only when I wanted to learn from the land and see what's new that hasn't made its way to the areas that I do manage. That's how I would handle it, and someone else doing this work will probably give you a different answer, maybe two. Thanks for joining me again for another episode of the Permaculture Podcast with Scott Mann. I intended for this show to be a little bit longer when I first sat down to put the material together. I didn't realize it would be quite this succinct, but it is what it is. And in the meantime, there's only one more Q&A show before we begin the PDC material on animals. In the meantime, if you have any questions or thoughts, stop by the website and leave a comment in the show notes at thepermaculturepodcast.com. And while you're there, if you find the show valuable, click the donate button on the right-hand side and support the show. It'll really help. You'll also find contact information to reach me directly by email or phone. Until the next time, take care of the earth, yourself, and each other.